Hi, everybody. I'm Jim Park. This is HGT Talks Trucking. Our guest on this episode is a rock star in the safety and compliance world. She succeeded in totally transforming her company's safety culture in just 3 years. And in that time, she lowered the company's crash indicator score from 71% to just 1%. In just a moment, you'll meet the recipient of HGT's 2023 Safety and Compliance Award, Sarah Cates. She's the Director of Safety at Thomas E. Keller Trucking in Defiance, Ohio. I spoke with Sarah following the award presentation at Bobbitt's Fleet Forward Conference in Santa Clara, California. My conversation with Sarah is coming up right after this.
Time is money, and that's why CatScale built the Way My Truck app. Your drivers can complete their entire way without ever leaving the cab. They'll see their weights on their mobile device or tablet, and scale tickets can be automatically emailed to you. With a fleet profile, you can save back office time as well. No driver reimbursements. And you'll have access to report data. Find out more at waymytruck.com.
Hi there, Sarah, and thanks for joining us today on HGT Talks Trucking.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on your award. You're the 2023 recipient of the HGT Fleet Safety Award, Fleet Safety Compliance Award, and we had the pleasure of presenting that to you at the Bobbitt Fleet Forward Conference in Santa Clara, California. Great for you to make the trip out here.
Yeah, it's very nice to be out here.
You've got a really interesting tale to tell, I think. You've been working for Keller Trucking for over a decade, or about a decade.
About 10 years.
10 years now? You've been in the safety department for only 3 years. Yet you've managed almost a complete turnaround in that short period of time. Can you sort of just take us through your evolution with the company, and then we'll get more into how you turned everything around?
Yeah, well, I think it starts about 10 years ago when I started at Keller. I was not a team member of Keller Trucking. I was part of Keller Freight Solutions, which is a brokerage firm, a freight brokerage firm. And I learned how to treat people and how not to treat people, you know, being in sales, and it can be kind of cutthroat, and you're doing something that not everyone loves doing sometimes. You know, nobody likes talking to brokers, it seems like, but I learned a lot about the industry, and I learned, you know, the appropriate way to talk to people, and safety, that's what it comes down to, communicating. And so I did that for about 2 years, and then I transitioned into the safety department, not into my current role, but I was on a safety team for probably about 5 years, and did a lot of project-based in the safety realm. I became trained in behavior-based safety, which again goes back to how you treat people and getting to the root cause of why people do what they do, asking why a lot, and all those things really helped build me into the individual I am now in the role that I am.
Okay, so you had to learn, I guess, well, you probably did in the logistics side, learn about
Absolutely,
trucking.
Absolutely, yes. I did not come from the industry, never saw myself in trucking, didn't know anything about it. But I took a crash course when I was in freight brokerage, and the market was not the best. And at the time, it was horrible. It was a lot to learn, and I felt behind all the time. But looking back, I value those years so much. I learned so much. I was kind of a dispatcher also, you know, the way my role was developed and or structured. And so, you know, you talk to drivers a lot and hear a lot of their concerns or the obstacles that they would face all the time. And yeah, it was an amazing learning experience.
So just to go back a few years, today's Sarah, thinking of yesterday, Sarah, all those years ago when you were dispatching drivers, did your approach or would your approach change then based
I'm
on what you know
I'm pretty proud
now?
To say that I think that I would now operate the same way I had then. I don't have any regrets that I treated any drivers the way they shouldn't have. I'm pretty proud. I can look back and be proud. And honestly, I think that Sarah has only grown now. a lot of, you know, the scenarios and the situations that I learned in that career just form the basis for where I'm at now. It's the same issues, the same obstacles. It's just our company drivers now rather than the drivers of other carriers.
So how did you learn about safety? I mean, there's tons of regulations you have to be familiar with, at least. That must have been a bit of an upward learning curve.
It was. I have a pretty good memory. So I would find people that I had a couple mentors that I found, and I latched onto them, and I just tried to soak up everything that they were talking about. Some of them were drivers, and they were trainers within our company. So, you know, they were someone I knew, okay, that they know what they're doing. So I just latched onto them and learned everything I could from them. Some were my bosses at the time who led the department, and some were people that, like, consultants that we just worked with from other companies that I just latched on and soaked up every bit of knowledge that I could, because, you know, you can try to go to classes and whatnot and learn things and you'll pick up a thing or two, but seeing it in the real world, that's how I learned best, and it worked really well for me.
And how did you get from the safety team position you had to the director of safety?
Well, my boss, who was head of the safety department, who I thought was going to be there forever, she did a great job in teaching me. One day she decided to go a different path, so the position became open, and I applied for it, you know, internally, and I got it. So it was just a really nice progression the way that worked.
Mm-hmm. When you took over the job, what was among the first things you did to turn the department around to your way of doing things?
Yeah, first off, Keller Trucking always had a really great safety record. Ownership has always been 100% behind the safety mission, which if you've got that going for you at a company, it makes the job so much easier. So I really appreciate our ownership, Brian Keller. So yeah, we had great safety scores. Our performance was good. The biggest thing, and I think this is most trucking companies, but or any company that has a safety, you know, department or whatnot, is people start to dread safety, or they worry about when your phone rings and it's safety calling. You know, they get scared and whatnot. And what I've really tried to do is make safety a resource rather than an obstacle for our employees. And that has been no easy feat. It takes, you know, I'm 3 years into it and I'm still learning and still getting better at it. You learn what works and what doesn't work. I will say the biggest thing is having compassion and treating people with dignity and respect. That'll get you a long way when, you know, you're coaching someone and, you know, talking about behaviors that were undesirable that you saw, and talking about, you know, what you want them to do, what you want them to start doing. You have to always start with their dignity in mind and respect them as a person and an employee, because you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to let people go, and I don't want them to quit. I want to retain our workforce, and I just want to see I want us to see eye to eye, and I want them to want the same thing that I want. Our end goal to be the same. So that's the challenge, and I'm still getting better at it all the time. We have an amazing safety team, a group that has the same goal as me. So we all work together.
This is HTT Talks Trucking. I'm Jim Park. I'm speaking with Sarah Cates, the Director of Safety at Thomas E. Keller Trucking, and the recipient of HTT's 2023 Safety and Compliance Award. When we come back, we'll talk about the safety culture at Keller Trucking and how Sarah manages a multi-generational workforce.
Scraper Systems by Right Height is North America's leading name for automated rooftop snow removal from truck fleets. Safely clear 24 inches of snow and ice in less than 30 seconds. Scraper Systems fleet plows help reduce winter risks, protect your brand, and get your fleet on the road quickly after a snowstorm. Machines are available to ship today. Contact scrapersystems.com for more information.
Why do you think it's so hard to get drivers on side with that so-called safety culture? I'm a former driver, and I can tell you when I was driving back in the 70s and 80s, go back a while, safety department wasn't your friend.
Right. And a lot still feel that way, I'll tell you. That generation is probably my biggest challenge. And you know, it's not just the safety department, you know, that honestly, as new technology rolls out, as trucks change, oh my goodness, we have in a fleet of about 300 trucks, we have maybe one manual still. And I mean, that was a challenge, you know, as technology changes in the trucks and regulations get added, it is, some of them don't like change. And truly, it goes back to what I said about dignity. They've been in this career for a long time. Some of those drivers, you know, 30 years. I think we've got an almost 40-year driver, and they're still doing it because they're good at it. Change can be hard. You have to ask input from them. You can't just go in and say, all right, this is how it is now because it's 2023 now, times are changing. You can't just go in like that. You have to ask for their feedback, ask for their buy-in. When we switched our ELD providers at the beginning of this year, which meant we also switched our camera system and beefed up the technology a little bit, I brought in a couple of our drivers that kind of fit what we're talking about now. And, you know, what do I need to do to make you feel better about this, to get you on board? What questions do you have? And, you know, once we got on the same page there, asked them, can you help me spread that word and that message throughout the fleet?
So they were your allies, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I bet that made a big difference, knowing that these two fellows, presume they're male, 30 years experience, they know a thing or two about the job and can probably relate that to drivers in a way that the drivers can trust and depend on.
Yeah.
Fascinating. What were some of the biggest challenges in rolling out this new equipment? Was it just, I know cameras were among them. You did fleet had had cameras in place at one point. You brought in the driver facing camera, which is a pretty risky proposition. Mm-hmm. Did these other two drivers help in that regard? And how did you roll that out?
So we, probably about 4 years ago, we had road facing cameras. About 4 years ago, we started rolling out driver facing cameras. We did not do the whole fleet at once. Maybe you were able to earn, you know, road facing only. Well, then we started rolling it out to the whole fleet, and that was a challenge. Drivers who had been driving years without cameras now feel like they're being watched all the time. And I cannot speak for other companies, but I can speak for Keller. I am not watching drivers all the time, truly. If I had to calculate which percentage of the fleet I see, and we have a fleet of about 300 drivers, if I had to calculate the percentage of our fleet I see on a daily basis, you know, snippets of film, truly, gosh, maybe 5%. So it's not much. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's the same drivers over and over again. Now, every once in a while, you'll get, I've never seen that guy on camera before, but, you know, things happen. But honestly, having a conversation like this with our drivers that were nervous about camera, because I get it. Who wants, you know, okay, not me, but who wants to be on camera all the time? Yeah. And then know that you're going to get maybe disciplined by what they see on camera. So again, you have to have compassion for that. You can't just say, this is what it is, like it or leave it. You could, but you'll lose people. You have to get the buy-in from the drivers. You have to tell them why. So we do have 100% driver-facing cameras now. And we switched at the beginning of this year our camera provider, and we went with a little bit of artificial intelligence technology. We could have gone with a lot. The camera had the capability, but I chose to only go with one piece of it, and it's specifically looking for mobile usage. So, you know, cell phone in the hand while they're driving. And I chose to only go that route because I really do respect driver privacy. I didn't want to throw a bunch of AI at them, or you know, but I thought that I could get a lot of drivers behind, you know. They can't, you know, if you say to one of our drivers, you know, I saw, you know, one of our drivers had his phone in his hand while driving, they just can't believe it. You know, they're like, why would they do that? Come on, they should know better. So they liked my logic behind that. And that was important, you know, to let them know about that. Mm-hmm. And to be a trustworthy person, because they always, well, wonder, could you add other features or enable other features? And you have to be someone they trust, and be an honest person and have a lot of integrity, because these cameras, they could be abused.
My father was an airline pilot, and back in the day he was flying, the cockpit voice recorders became an issue once. It was one of the pilots was bad-mouthing one of the supervisors at some point, and somebody heard the tape and cost this other pilot some grief, and the union threatened to go on strike, and it was a big deal. But in the end, the airline came up with a policy that said, if nothing triggers a review of the cockpit voice recorder, it will automatically re-record over itself every 2 hours, I believe it was. Are there any policies in place regarding the use of cameras with respect to what drivers can be assured is not going to be reviewed by somebody? You don't just flip a camera on and watch what John Doe is doing for a couple of hours. How do you protect them from, how do you protect their privacy, I guess, is the story.
So you have to, as a company, have policies like that in place, because somebody could go rogue and abuse them. And at Keller, we are very serious about that. And we do have policies in place. We have, we'll say about 300 drivers on all have cameras on them. We only have about 4 people at the company who have access to those cameras. Okay. And we used to have everyone in the office had access to the cameras, and not that anyone abused it that I know of, but again, put myself in their shoes. I've got a camera staring at me and everyone has access to it. Can everyone be trusted? So again, going back to that compassion and dignity and respect for the individual, we had no issues, but I whittled that down to our safety team, our director of operations, and the CEO. I can tell you the CEO and the director of operations don't even know how to, you know, request footage. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see anyone who has requested footage. And I tell you, like I said, the whole safety team is really great, and I trust them. They have a lot of integrity. So I've never found any footage that was pulled that should not have been pulled.
Okay. I'm sure if I'm a driver listening to that, I respect that.
Yeah.
I think. What else did you do to start to bring your safety profile up, I guess, the crash rate down? Mm-hmm. What were some of the other steps you took at the company after you got the job?
Well, I will say, going back again to the ownership and the leadership at the company, we take great pride in our equipment. Our trucks are, I think our average turnover right now is 2.5 years for our trucks. So they're beautiful. And we spec out with pretty much all the latest and greatest safety features. We have collision mitigation. We have Volvos and Freightliners, but we have collision mitigation on all of our, probably about 95% of our trucks. We still have a couple older ones in the fleet that don't have it yet. But and that's been huge, you know, having buy-in from ownership in the company that they will spend that type of money on the new equipment to have that. That's huge.
I'm sure the drivers like the newer equipment too. That's probably not bad for retention.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of the bigger challenges you face as a director of safety in 2023? Is it finding good drivers to work with? Is it getting buy-in from the drivers you have? Is it just the environment today is so tough to work in? What do you face?
I will say that after the pandemic, I noticed I kind of joke about it, but I'm serious. I've noticed that our society is angry. And I do think we're coming out of it, but I think that, you know, with isolation and social distancing, we became, you know, starved for contact. And I saw more motorist complaints than ever before, you know, people calling in on our drivers or our drivers calling in about other drivers. And we were fighting a battle against ourselves, it seemed like. We also had a lot of our great drivers retire because they wanted to be home with family. It's hard to be a trucker out there, especially over the road, away from family, and the pandemic did not make it any easier. You know, bathrooms were taken away from drivers, parking got worse, and I am seeing a lot of that fog, that negativity lift, which is great. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of, you know, the mental health concerns from that, especially with drivers. And so that's a battle we face. And I hope that everyone is tuned into that. Because like I said, over the road driver is a very hard job. It's very lonely. It can be very lonely and isolating. And we need to bounce back to where we were before the pandemic. Going, you know, kind of tying into what I said about some of those experienced drivers leaving, we have new drivers, you know, coming into the workforce, which is great. They're going to CDL schools. And as a company, we do hire straight out of CDL school. We have a tuition reimbursement program and a finishing program that we put you through a lot of training to make sure you're good to go solo. But, you know, there's that workforce that's just completely different to the one that is retiring. So you got to find the happy medium, you know, how you train them, how you talk to them, how you communicate, what the goals of that generation are. I'll notice, and this is maybe just in our particular area, it's harder to find those over-the-road truck drivers. More and more people want to be home every night, which I totally get. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just those challenges of this is what the industry had looked like to some of us for so long, and it's just transitioning. So we just have to get used to that. You know, they are much different when it comes to their driving habits as well. You know, I talked about we have newer equipment and all the technology, and you get a younger person in a newer truck with all that technology, and now they're learning to drive that way. They're learning to drive with adaptable cruise control and with collision mitigation. And what happens when that technology fails? Are they absolutely ready, prepared to operate that truck when it fails? So challenges like that.
Are they different fundamentally than the old generation, the older guard?
I truly think they are. There are some of those still that have grown up in families, you know, that had, you know, their dad drove or grandfather owned a truck. We do still have them, but there's more and more females entering the industry now, which is amazing. I love that. That means that the industry is changing, yeah, in some positive ways for them. So that's great. I would just say our average driver right now is very different than they were probably about 20 years ago. And it's always good, you know. I mean, there's not one generation is better than the other. It's just different, and everyone needs to make sure that they're adapting to that.
From a safety department's point of view, how do you adapt your philosophy to safety to such a diverse intergenerational workforce?
Well, it kind of goes back to, I had mentioned that I have a background in behavior-based safety. The wrong approach would be to assume that you know the why, the how, the motivation of the person, the training, the background, and all that. You have to constantly be treating each person as an individual and know that their story, their journey, everything's different. Ask why a lot, and you'll find out a lot of the answers to questions that you're asking or didn't know you should be asking.
Yeah, it's a two-way exchange there. It's not just mm-hmm. top-down, this is the way we're going to do it. Yeah, I think a lot of companies pay lip service to safety. They'll tell anybody who asks, oh yeah, we've got a great safety program. But they seem to fall short where the rubber actually meets the road. Why do you think that is? Is safety just too hard? Is it too much work? Is it hard to get right?
It takes time. You know, some people view safety as the enemy of productivity and efficiency. One thing we do at Keller every year is we send I call it a safety survey out to our fleet. And I use the same survey every year. That way I can compare results, responses. And it's very short. It's about 4 questions. And I send it to the drivers. And it asks the driver to rate. It's got 4 things. It has efficiency, productivity, customer service, and safety. And it wants the driver to rate those in importance, 1 being the most important, 4 being the least. And they're all important, don't get me wrong. For our fleet, and I'm not surprised, but for our fleet, it comes back that safety is the most important thing. And of course, from a safety director's standpoint, that's music to my ears. The next thing it asks in the survey, though, is rate what you feel is most important to your manager. So for us, that's our fleet managers, that's what we call our dispatchers. And it's the same 4 things, though. It's efficiency, productivity, customer service, and safety. And I love that survey and those questions, because it'll tell you a lot. Because of course, a driver's going to come back and say, safety's most important to me, or you hope they do. But if they come back and say that they think their boss is most concerned about customer service or productivity, then you have a problem. And I'm very happy to say that at Keller, the majority feel that safety matters most to their manager as well. So I encourage anyone, you know, to survey your fleet, see what they say. It might be eye-opening. If it comes back, the majority, you know, if drivers think productivity or efficiency matters most to their manager, then that'll tell you what you need to work on.
Well, I was going to ask you just before we close, do you have any tips for up-and-coming directors of safety, folks who want to migrate into your kind of work, what they need to get there and what they should do when they get there?
Yeah, I cannot stress enough what I had mentioned is treating people with respect. You cannot rule, you know, with an iron fist. You can try, but you won't get a lot of buy-in. You'll get a lot of fear and negative feelings. Treat people with respect, with dignity. Ask for their feedback, but don't just ask it. Don't just do that lip service. Truly listen to what people have to say. Take the time to follow up on that. It all comes down to communication, hearing people, making sure they know that they're heard, recognizing those positive behaviors that doesn't get enough in this industry, or at least you don't hear about it as much, but you have to recognize the good. We have to, as an industry, keep those great drivers. Otherwise, they will get burned out and they'll go do something else. And we'll be left to train, you know, the next generation and hope that they're as good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where to from here for you? You've made a pretty big impression in 3 years. Where do you hope to be in the next 5 years?
I love our company. We're in Northwest Ohio, and that's where my family is. I love working so close to my home, my family. Keller Trucking's looking to grow, which is exciting. About 3 years ago, when I took this position, we were about 100 trucks. So we've grown, and that was an exciting journey. And Brian Keller, our CEO and owner, says that by 2030, we're going to be at 1,000 trucks. So that's a fun journey, and I can't wait to help him get there.
Sarah Cates is a director of safety for Keller Trucking in Defiance, Ohio. We talked to her at the Bobbitt Fleet Forward Conference in Santa Clara, California. Sarah, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate
that. Thank you so much for having me.
I've been speaking with Sarah Cates, the director of safety at Thomas E. Keller Trucking of Defiance, Ohio. She's also the recipient of HTT's 2023 Safety and Compliance Award. Sarah and I spoke following the award presentation at Bobbitt's Fleet Forward Conference in Santa Clara, California. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, and don't be shy about congratulating Sarah on her accomplishment. You can do that in the comment section below. I'm Jim Park. Thanks for watching.